Good evening, and welcome to Next Gen for August 29th, 2014. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Jennifer Cook.
And we're here to talk about something, who knows what. It's Friday night, it's a Friday night podcast.
Crashed.
Of things that Jennifer found on Facebook and sent to me.
You're frozen.
Well, I'm not frozen. I'm doing just fine, thanks. I'll get a blanket later. The first one is a BuzzFeed article that you sent me, 16 crazy facts that will blow your mind in one sentence. Do you love BuzzFeed?
Apparently I do.
You do?
I don't know. It's kind of.
It's all clickbait. Over?
Well, I'm a sucker for it. You know, it's that pop culture.
So number one, the first fax was sent while people were still traveling the Oregon Trail.
What does that even mean?
Fax is when you send a document through a digital means, and I'm not sure how they did that while they were on the Oregon Trail. Number two, outer space is only an hour's drive away if your car could drive straight up. The oldest person in the world was born and The oldest person in the world was born with a completely different set of humans. Well, okay. A lot of people die. We get that. BuzzFeed's a real buzzkill, really. That's what they should call it. They should call it that. The word crisp starts at the back of your throat and ends up in the front. Ah, there you go. That'll change your life. There's a jellyfish that can age in reverse. It's called Benjamin Buttonfish.
Really?
No! No, not really.
Short story, that movie. Oh, I was like...
Reverting to its earliest stage in life where it can restart its life cycle. Not light cycle, that's a Tron reference. And sheet death. Buffalo! Oh, good God. I'm not reading that. The computer used to guide the Apollo 11 mission was less powerful than the modern calculator. Yeah,
we said that to your sister, didn't you?
Yeah, we've talked about that quite a bit on the main show, where we talk about how the iPhone 5 is actually more powerful than the space shuttle. That the computers on the space shuttle... Now, bear in mind, the space shuttle has been retired. You can only find it in a museum now. It's not an actual spaceship any longer. But the iPhone 5 is more powerful than the computers on that spaceship.
It's pretty incredible. So you hate BuzzFeed, huh? What about Upworthy? And what about Huffington Good News? And what about
other
clicks that they have?
I don't click on any of those. Occasionally, a Huffington Post article will catch my eye, and I'll go, oh, good, something to read. And then I'll look at it closely, and I'll go, oh, Huffington Post. No. I won't read those. Clickbait. The story of the week, actually, is that Facebook is trying to put together an algorithm that gets rid of some of their clickbait, that those pages that you click on and you stay on for only a few seconds won't be posted in the newsfeed for anyone else because those are just clickbait.
Right. I thought that already happened earlier in this week. I had gotten a notification about it, that it happened something on Monday about then they're looking for keywords with anything with like and share in it in the status line, like if it's in an image, I think it's less detected, but yeah, exactly, they're really trying to get those out of the feed, but it's, you know, it's still an algorithm. The more you click, the more you're going to see that type of content, the more you click other types of content. Like, what does your news feed look like?
I don't know, I don't look at it. Oh. This segment's called I Saw It on Facebook. I don't know, I don't look at it.
What Steve didn't see on Facebook.
What Steve... Oh, that's a long segment. What Steve didn't see is an amazingly long group of things. Your second one that you sent me is Ringly, and Ringly is the new app that is a ring that allows you to get notifications on your ring on your finger. That's Ringly. And, Glamour says that it's good, and so does Elle. Oh, and look, BuzzFeed. It must be good if BuzzFeed says it is. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this that you sent me?
I think I'm going to have to pay $195 to pre-order the silver one.
Oh, you need
I'm more of a silver person, yeah.
The dive bar. The dive bar. $195 for a ring that tells you that something's happening on your phone. You know what I bet you it really tells you? What's happening on BuzzFeed.
Yeah, well, okay, I think this is really practical, and I'm kicking myself for not having invented it myself. As a woman, obviously, you're a man, so your phone probably ends up on your person. You were sharing with me about the pedometer on the iPhone that you have and all of the, you know, health stuff. That would never work for us because we would have to have one of those dorky armbands. Yoga pants don't have pockets. I mean, what's that?
This is my ring. This is my smartwatch. This is my smartphone. This is my tablet. I'm talking to you on my laptop. Here's my podcasting microphone. There's a small problem in my life where I have way too many things. And yes, you're right. Yoga pants and me don't really need to match too well because I can carry this pretty much wherever I go. And yes, the iPhone 5S has a built-in pedometer. I don't have to wear anything else to do my step counting. And maybe a ring is the right choice for you.
Well, because it's in your man pants.
Yes, you know what I mean? It's yes. In my man pants. I think we have a title for the show. Man pants.
Well, what I'm saying is that women, we don't have that opportunity all the time. Like right now I'm wearing like a little skirt, no pockets there. So if I had my phone, it would be, and sometimes I'm carrying my mom purse, and my mom purse weighs probably about 12 pounds filled with all the stuff, and I miss a lot of calls. If my husband's looking for me or whatever, I'll silence it from in church and forget about it, and 2 days later, I miss tons of calls. It goes straight to voicemail. Oh, I was available to take your call, but it was buried in my purse, and I didn't hear it, or it wasn't on vibrate, or I had it under a stack of papers on my desk at work. So Ringly is a huge cocktail ring, which is very fancy because, you know, I'm drinking my pink champagne because that's how we do it on Next Gen. And so this is an electronic cocktail ring that will give you vibrations mm-hmm. if you receive a phone call or a text message or whatever, and you can customize it. So if I was at the club and my babysitter called, I don't go to clubs, but I'm just saying if I had that $190 ring, maybe I would go to clubs.
That's right. So what do you think of the Ringly ring versus the smartwatch concept? Because you can buy a smartwatch for about $195. Why is a ring a better choice?
Let's show the people that thing again, Stephen.
You're asking me to jump now. Let's see how fast I can jump and show it.
What was the thing that you just showed me on your hand?
Oh, my smartwatch.
Yeah.
My smartwatch that I bought from China for $30, that is not a great smartwatch, but it works. And it does basically what Ringly does. It vibrates when my phone rings. So if my phone is not within reach, or if it's in a part of my pocket that is less sensitive, there's a show title, then I can get a vibration on my wrist instead of in my pocket. And yes, that's exactly what I used it for, but it's $30 because I bought it from China.
Wow. This is a woman-man conversation, isn't it? Do you not see the difference? It's not sparkly. It's not fashionable.
This is
clunky,
very
ugly.
It's very clunky and fashionable.
It's concealed, you know. So if you are a geek and you've got like, I've got my iPhone band, that's you. You like to do stuff like that. I don't. I could be geeky, but I want it to be concealed in the aesthetic of me and my fanciness. So a giant cocktail ring that's alerting me to like what's going on in my life, so I can fish my phone out of my mom purse. I think it's pretty awesome. I'm very excited about it.
Well, there you go. We found the market. BuzzFeed found it for you. What else did you send? Let's see. Let's check out what else you sent me.
I saw on Facebook.
You sent me a real actual story here. The anti-harassment policy that should maybe be in place for conventions and for other places. Let's see if I can find the actual story. There's the actual story. You sent me this story right here. The Comic-Con, which is a couple of weeks ago now, Comic-Con's dark side, harassment amid the fantasy. We have a lot of issue here where people are dressing up as superheroes, and superheroes are not known for their candor in the costume department. And so there's several young ladies at comic conventions who are getting harassed because they're dressed in a way that makes them objects instead of people at the convention, and this is a big issue.
You been to any of the comic conventions?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we just got back from Sci-Fi, which is the Chicago Sci-Fi Convention, and they, in fact, put in their own anti-harassment policy into that convention, and they held a panel on that particular subject because that is a very important thing. Cosplay does not equal consent was their stance on it. It's been a long time coming.
Right.
Not only that, we also have Geek Bar Chicago that's going to be opening soon, and they have built their business model on the foundation of a anti-harassment policy. They actually have built that into their business model. It's important that we understand that different people have different viewpoints and they're going to wear different clothing, and it doesn't make them want to be harassed.
Right, but at the same time, I mean, I definitely believe that there needs to be regulations or harassment guidelines or whatever, but at the same time, you know, some of it gets, you know, touching is definitely never appropriate, stalking, following people, whatever, but like with the photo, like taking pictures or whatever, you know, a lot of it, I think, is that it is this pretend surreal world, and obviously, if you dressed up like that and no one looked at you, like, I would be pissed. Like, we just decided this morning, like, with my kids, like, we're going to be the Avengers for the Halloween party that you're invited to. And
nice.
That Heather and Rebecca and I are all planning. And I'm going to be Black Widow. So I was, like, you know, thinking about my costume, and I'm excited about it. But, yeah, so if I wanted to do, like, black leather pants and a bodysuit, like, good for me. If I'm comfortable with my body and I want to wear that, then I should be able to wear that. You know what I mean? And if I went to a Comic-Con and, you know, people, like, diverted their eyes, I would feel like I sucked. So, I mean, the girls that are doing it are looking for attention, but there is a line for that attention. You know what I mean? Or else they wouldn't be doing it. I mean, do you really want – are you trying to tell me that they're there because – what, they want to meet guys, they want to hook up, they're really interested in the comics, they want to experience it, like, what's their motivation? I mean, I think it's ego-driven, I think it's, you know, fantasy, role-playing, and all of those things, and it's their right to do that.
And that's an interesting line that we have to draw in the sand and figure out. Where is it that the person who dresses up that wants to be seen, how far is it before it's harassment? That's an important question in all this.
Right.
All right. That's
so
enough.
Good. I mean, I don't know.
That's enough of the strong story. Let's move on to the weak stuff. Our second segment is appropriate or appropriate. This is our apps for kids segment, and the one that you brought up is called Chore Monster. Tell us about Chore Monster.
Well, Chore Monster is very funny. It's a cute interface. It's for parents and kids. There's different logins for the children and for the parents. And what Chore Monster is, it's an online virtual incentive program for getting kids to do their chores. It also has a really neat feature where you can kind of connect it to Amazon. So like my son Jackson begging for this Lego Chima set. And he just keeps begging for it, and he doesn't understand that I'm not just going to give him a toy when it's not Christmas or his birthday in the middle of the year for no reason. So it allows you to kind of sync that up to Amazon. So, like, the toy is right in, on his Zoom or on his tablet, and there's little monsters, and every time they, you know, do their chores, they get to spin this wheel of different things that you can see it in the left-hand corner to win just different prizes, and then you can upgrade and buy things for your monster. I mean, it would be on the vein of your Club Penguins, Animal Jam type of thing, but it's all rewards driven. It was created by a family services psychologist in terms of, like, you know, rewards and motivation. I mean, you're a teacher, I'm a former teacher. So I think it's pretty much grounded in behavior modification. That's pretty sound. It's funny if you go to, like, the FAQs, though, and some of these monsters are, you know, there's, like, toilet humor, and, like, one of them's like, are the potty jokes really necessary? And it's like, yes, they are, fart face. Like, I mean, it's just kind of silly, but at the same time, it's like, empty the dishwasher, sweep the floor, you know, pull the weeds once a week for 10 bonus points. Oh, you'll get that much closer to that Lego Chima set. And I think it's a really nice organizational model. I mean, I was terrible with, like, our paper chore charts that I had hanging up, and then I would always forget and, like, oh, did I get a point for that? And so this is cool because those kids have their tablets in their hands, like, 24/7 anyway. So I'm kind of excited to implement it. I mean, I haven't started using it with them. I just signed up today, and I'm starting to, like, put them in as users and kind of develop some of the things that I need to get done, but age appropriately, you know, to what I feel that they can handle to build their, you know, sense of responsibility.
And it does a lot more for them to do a little bit of planning, to see the future. The one thing that we talk about in school a lot is that kids don't understand the value of a dollar, and they don't understand the idea of planning for something beyond today. So this website and this app could certainly do that.
Yeah, it has a lot of potential, so I'm hoping that it's good for our family.
All right. We move on to the calendar. Well, there's a lot of things on the calendar this weekend. It's Labor Day weekend. We're going to have that last shot at the summer movies and some summer fun before the long, dark Midwestern winter creeps back in. It's been a long summer, and we've got a long winter in front of us, but we got a little more time to the time of Labor Day this weekend. Got any big plans?
I don't. What about you? You're going to check out some of those movies? We still haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy. I know you saw that last week.
Oh, I'm ready to go see it a second time. That Guardians of the Galaxy is it's better than good. It is the Indiana Jones and the Star Wars of my kids' generation, I think. I think my kids are going to watch that a few more times, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't know. There's nothing really that's that compelling right now out in theaters. I don't know.
No, the summer movie season is over. It's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the Guardians of the Galaxy really were the last of the summer movies this year, and we're going to have to wait a while for the Christmas movies to come out.
Right. But all, you know, what's good about that is all the television premieres that are coming out in the next month or so.
Yeah, I still don't watch a lot of television. As much as I used to be a huge fan of television, I just don't watch it anymore. We've been thinking about getting a DVR system in the house so that we can record things, and every time I think about it, I think, why? Why would I record things? I've got Hulu, I've got Netflix, why would I even want to save those programs for later? I don't know.
Maybe. We use it mostly for our kids. My entire DVR is just filled with my kids' content, but I don't know. I'm paying way too much for it. We have Hulu and then, you know, Amazon and Apple TV, and there's so much that you can stream. It seems kind of like a waste of, you know, the ungodly amount that you pay, which is probably upwards of $150 or something. I don't know. But I don't know. There's a couple of things. Homeland, I'm really into. Showtime, there's been a couple of things. And Game of Thrones isn't coming out until April. And then the second half of the Mad Men series, whenever that's going to launch. But I think that should be before Christmas. That'll be fun.
Those are all great things. I don't watch a single one of those things that you just said. No. I just don't.
You just watch Doctor Who.
A lot of Doctor Who. If there's a sci-fi story on, I'll watch that.
We can even have a conversation, Steven.
Yeah, we can talk Doctor Who one day. Yeah. There's a lot of Doctor Who memorabilia behind me. It is a different world. It's like it's from another country.
Well, I have pictures behind me, too. And yours are like, I see the Blues Brothers and sports, and mine are...
Yeah, I've got sports back there. That's mostly for the 8-year-old. But yeah, there's Mike Ditka, and there's a player from the White Sox back there, and a lot of comic books, and a lot of Doctor Who. There's a lot of Doctor Who back there. Brings us to the NFL. The NFL is kicking off this week. The first games there are on Thursday, September 4th, is when we're going to get our first NFL season games. Let's see if I can show you this fast enough. I should really get better at this. The Green Bay Packers and the Seattle Seahawks, they're going to be playing on Thursday. And then on Sunday, September 7th, it all starts. All those games, all those people who just love football and leave their lives behind to watch more football.
Yeah. Do you have any friends that are doing like the virtual leagues or anything, the fantasy footballs? Or
you happen to be talking to one of your friends who's doing a fantasy football league? I am. I started.
Did you ask Alex who theirs were?
Yes.
And who they should have on their team?
Yes.
Yeah. At least you admitted those.
To make a list of all the names of the men that were good at football, and we drafted them. And then after that list was done, I started just finding some silly names. I drafted a man named Christine. I figured he had to be a badass because of the song "A Boy Called Sue." And then I drafted a guy. His last name is Guy because I needed a guy.
That's like how I pick wine by the cartoon characters. I mean, it all works. Everyone has a system for everything. So
when you don't have any knowledge at all, you have to go with what you know.
Yep, exactly. It's like shooting in the dark, like whatever.
The other big thing on the calendar, of course, is the Apple announcement is coming September 9th, and we're going to see what Apple has for us this year. We'll see what kind of a thing they come out with. Maybe it'll be a new iPhone. iPhone 6, maybe.
Yeah.
What are the odds?
I think that was in the press release, but, you know.
There is no press release. As a matter of fact, here, I could show you this picture from Forbes of the press release. The press release says 9/9/2014. Wish we could say more. That's what they said. And who knows what's in there? It's probably an iPhone. It seems like it's time for the iPhone 6 to come out. But there might be this new thing called the iWatch. There might be some sort of smart watch in Apple's future, where instead of a ring, it will vibrate on your wrist and tell you that you have a phone call.
But will it be like a touchscreen or be like a fully functioning device, or what's the point of it? It's an accessory.
We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, they're not going to be that big of about an accessory. It's got to be the iPhone 6.
Well, the iPhone 6
will. What's the over under on that?
It's the iPhone 6. Now, yeah. The over-under, the question is whether or not the iPhone 6 will be a 4.7-inch screen, a 5.5-inch screen, or stick with the 3.5-inch that we've all come to know and love.
I don't know. Do you think it grew? Do you think they gave them, they're on the roids?
Yeah, I think the iPhone on roids is really going to be a big seller.
Yeah. I think it had to grow a little.
What do you think?
Size matters, I guess.
What do you think? Would you carry a 5.5-inch phone as opposed to a 3.5-inch phone and a 7-inch tablet?
So what? Put it into a little bit of perspective. Is that like get Samsung Note size, or is that like the...
Yeah, the Galaxy S5... The Galaxy S5 is a 4.7-inch screen, and is the speculation that the iPhone will be something similar to the Galaxy S5, and the Galaxy Note is more of a 5.3, if my memory serves. So it's going to be actually about the same size, a little bit bigger
maybe.
That's huge.
That's the Note is like this. It's like, whoa. It like covers your whole face. Like you don't want that.
Right.
But I don't know. My hand, how do you hold your phone? Like, do you have your iPhone with you?
I've got my iPhone right here, and I've got my Google Nexus 7.
I always do like the pinky under. This is like my holding, my phone scrolling, like when I'm too much scrolling, right? Because you kind of like balance it. So,
yeah.
And I'm a larger one.
But I'm not doing that with my 7-inch tablet, though. I have my pinky at the bottom of my 3.5, you're absolutely right, but not on my 7-inch tablet.
So if it grows too much, what's the hand feel going to be like? I mean, I think the Samsung Galaxy size would be okay if that's what they think is going to sell. I don't know. I mean, there's pros and cons, but when I had my Samsung, with the thumb action, was not as good because you couldn't really get up to there with the balancing of the pinky. Like if my thumb only went that far, you know what I mean?
So
that would be
that was the key. Yeah. It was the trigger.
I'm sure they have tons of studies where they're like examining this and you know making sure that they are. I mean, iPhone or Apple's, I'm sure going to take care of it. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be awesome. I would buy one.
So let's switch to a different product category. Are you excited about the concept of an Apple TV?
Like an actual unit?
Well, at least an update to the current Apple TV, the hockey puck style.
I don't know. We just got the old, well, not the old, because I heard your show about how the older Apple TVs actually had some capabilities that the new ones don't. We just got ours. It's pretty awesome. But they're talking about building screens with that technology inside. What? I haven't heard about that.
Google has introduced their Android TV where they are going to give their hockey puck style box to manufacturers to build into TVs. So why not Apple?
Would it have a touchscreen?
No, you don't want a touchscreen TV. You know how many fingerprints you have on your phone and your tablet right now? You want your TV to look like that? That's disgusting.
I don't know. They would take away those smart boards. That's the same thing.
Yeah, the smart
cool.
boards are plastic. They don't have fingerprints. They just have big black smudges.
Yeah, kid grease all over.
Just kid grease, but it's not made of glass, so you can't see it nearly as well.
Did you see the new Curve TV, the Samsung Curve?
I have seen the Curve TVs.
Yeah.
I don't see the point in a Curve TV.
I don't either. When I saw that, I was like,
I am much more excited about the OLED TVs that will be coming out and become, well, they've come out, but they will become more affordable in the next few years. There's some beautiful imagery that is available with the OLED TVs, and the absolute thinness of it is no thicker than a pane of glass. At some point in history, we're going to get to a paper-thin screen that you could literally hang like wallpaper.
Wow. That'd be cool.
It would be cool. What else is cool? We've got the health kit and the connected home are going to be a part of the new Apple iOS, and we're going to see a lot more innovation in the Internet of Things. You excited about the Internet of Things?
I'm not very well familiarized with the concept. I think that the wiring and the capability of, you know, like having everything control at your fingertips to basically operate your entire house, your lights, your, you know, security systems, your TVs, your, you know, oven, your whatever. I mean, that would be awesome. Like if my phone could tell me like, oh, get the stuff out of the washer so I don't have to wash it two times after I leave it for 2 days and forget about it and then I have to rewash it. Like, I mean, if I could have my Ringly say, oh, hey, go get your laundry, that would be awesome. I mean, I could set a timer on the Apple, on the iPhone, but, I mean, to have it really all pulled together on one interface and, like, I mean, that would really be powerful, I think, for managing life. I mean, I don't know. I fumble around. Like, I'm technologically, you know, sufficient, I guess, but I think there's a lot that I'm still bumbling around, obviously, like the beginning of this show. But to have it like work, I don't know, but then is that just going to open up itself to a million things of going wrong and just not
a lot
work?
Of first world problems. I can't get my phone to open my garage door. What do I do? There are going to be those conversations. But absolutely, you're right. If all of these things can talk to each other, and the garage door tells the oven to turn on and the lights to turn on, and even better, even more efficient, when we leave the building and there's nobody left in the house, why is the furnace running? Those are the innovative things that are going to be important to the Internet of Things.
Right. I mean, and there's even environmental implications of that too. I mean, you know, have you seen the new ComEd bills? Where they like put you against your neighbors
and guilt you into turning off the lights. Yeah, I celebrate those every time I get one, and it says that I'm the worst person on the block, and I turn more lights on. I turn on a few more computers. There's really? Not enough computers on in the house right now. Let me go get some more.
Let me plug some more in. I think it's a great, brilliant marketing campaign, because I'm like, look, we're almost in the top 10% of efficient homes, and like, I don't know, it motivated me just to compete against my neighbors, but I'm like really competitive. You're like stick it to the man, like.
Yeah, I'm on the opposite side of that structure. I celebrated. I actually took a photo of it and posted it on Facebook and celebrated the fact that I was winning.
Yeah, you are winning at your inefficient overuse of electricity
and wasting my money again. That's what it's all about.
You save money, and it would do the environment.
Yeah.
For future generations. And
what has the environment ever done for us?
Oh, I don't know. Give you air to breathe and food to eat. And
I'm not good at breathing air.
No, you with your asthma. Well, after a couple puffs of your inhaler, I'm sure you're all good.
Chemistry is better than the environment. Thank you for making that point.
Well, hey.
All right. I think we've gotten through another episode of Next Gen. Thank you for joining us. If you want to find out more information, we'll have to make a website at some point. We haven't actually made a website yet. But you can go to my website, TooMuchScrolling.com. You can listen to my show, Too Much Scrolling, where every Tuesday, Chip Hessenflo and I discuss all the important information that you need to know to survive another week. How can we find more information from you, Jen?
look in the phone book and there you go.
Just look in the phone book under Jen and you'll find her.
Well, yeah, exactly.
This is a Friday night podcast. This is really the way that, Friday night podcasts need to
go. Or it could be like at the movie Serendipity, where I'll like write it on a dollar bill and I'll just put it into circulation, and then it will go into, you know, the masses, and then somebody will find it and then they can contact me. That's another good strategy.
There you go. That was a John Cusack movie, wasn't it? Serendipity?
Yeah. Right.
I think I've seen that because John Cusack was in it. All right, I think we're going to call it quits for another episode of Next Gen. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Jennifer Cook.
Have a good night.
Adios.